Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
So I suppose the big news is China, and it's...
Well, are
we the first country in Europe?
No, we're not, actually. We're coming up third at the moment.
Oh.
France got through there in January. I think they got the go-ahead. And in February, the UK got the go-ahead. So, you know, the pressure was really on for it to happen. And but again, you know, it's taken a long time. And this is where I'm going to harp back again to, you know, the whole sector, 13 billion euros worth of exports is only as strong as the weakest link.
Mm.
And we're now looking at this is the result of a BSE ban 20 years ago. And it's now that many years later and we're only getting back into that market.
It's astonishing. It's such a long period of time.
It's taken 4 years of relentless work. You're talking about November 2014 when Simon Coveney brought a trade mission over to China. Then they came back pretty snappily by December 14 to do a big review of the processing, the departments, traceability, the farms. They were here for 10 days, a whole inspection crew. Then Enda went back off to China, Enda Kenny, for another trade mission to kind of coax them along. And they did an audit on traceability then in January 2016. There was another trade mission in September 2016. Then there was formal protocols agreed in 17. There was another audit in 17. And we reported back on that in December 17. So this has been painstakingly slow. Every dot has to be dotted, or every I has to be dotted and every T had to be crossed on it. And, you know, we have to maintain now the status, the traceability levels and all the other issues that would have been a concern to the Chinese, because the market is huge. It's absolutely. I remember my mother, and my mother is dead 15 years now. But I remember saying, if we could only convince the Chinese to have one bite of beef each, the difference it would make to the market. And, you know, she's absolutely right. But do you think we're going, if anybody thinks we're going to have a free run at this market, well, that's another thing that we're not. I mean, there are already huge importers from the US, from Brazil, from Uruguay, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand and Canada. There's like, you know, I mean, I could start calling out how many tons, but I don't know how I'd even bother to put it into or how I'd manage it into perspective, because the tonnage is enormous that's going in.
Yeah. Now, obviously, they took a time to come back to importing, say, Irish beef because of the mad cow scare.
Yeah.
But the standards that they want, the standards that, say, are in place in Ireland, aren't in many cases those standards much higher than they are in some of the countries you just mentioned.
Yes, but they didn't have maybe a BSE problem that we had.
Yeah.
The BSE was the real killer punch for European beef exports. So,
but is that all the Chinese are worried about? Or
well, it was what the initial thing was. But look, they're the buyer. They can set the market.
Yeah.
We're looking at selling them in now. Shank and shin and short ribs. All of them are boneless, under 30 months. So there's no bone to go in or anything like that. Now, you know, the idea at the moment is there's three premises after being approved, ABP in Clonus, Foyle in Donegal and Slaney down in Wexford. There's five more expected to be approved very, very quickly. So they're on different tiers of readiness to be able to export. And you know, once that's up and running, then we may look at trying to get in boned beef or offal, the fifth quarter, which they're big importers of from other parts of the world. So, but look at where the door is open at the moment. You know, there's three factories approved. It is a big, big market. It's turned out to be our second biggest market, I think, for dairy produce and for pig meat exports. And it could replace France or Holland as our second biggest market now for beef exports. So in the light, you know, Borbia have an office out there. Some of the factories have as well out in Beijing. And, you know, in the whole worry about Brexit and the return of tariffs, it would be just extraordinary if you'd have a situation where you can export, you know, with everything above board going to China.
Mm.
And looking at the UK, you could be ending up in a tariff situation and, you know, lots of trouble there. So we're very dependent on the British market. You know, 51% of our beef is going over there. So to develop this market, so, you know, we've got a year now, a year and a half to see what the market will bring. But they're talking about potentially, you know, 100 million euros worth of a market.
I mean, that's extraordinary.
You do not pick those up off the street, yeah. You know, and
it's funny,
and they've
that,
been good partners.
It's funny that we're kind of competing with France, but we also export to France.
Yes, yeah. And China has no qualms about bringing in the beef, you know. So it's not that they're mad keen on developing their own herds. They have, you know, issues there in terms of domestic issues in you know, the number of livestock that they actually have, and then environmental issues as well. So they're quite happy to import, and they're actually very happy to import. I mean, somebody was saying to me, how can it be financially feasible to send beef, frozen beef, all the way from Ireland over to China?
Mm.
Well, it takes about 6 weeks to get there. It goes via the Suez Canal. But because China has so much exports coming in, or exports so much to Europe, the tankers are all going back empty.
Right.
Or the
yeah.
bulk carriers.
Yeah.
And they're very, you know, it's actually really seemingly very reasonable to ship goods back to China.
Yeah.
Because the big cargo things are here anyway.
Mm.
So look at, anyway, I think it is well done to the Department of Agriculture, the vets. I was down speaking at their dinner on last Friday night, the government vets, and you know, they're very keen to play a serious role in this. And, you know, they are the gatekeepers to make sure that everything is done above board and absolutely correct.
Yeah.
There was a story, I think, once that certain financial regulators or, you know, people like that, that they couldn't track bullocks through a snowdrift. Well, now, I mean, we need to be able to trace and track every single scrap of beef that's
yeah.
going out here.
And, yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to be saying, I told you so afterwards.
Yeah, well, it's yeah. good news. It's good news.
Good news to the department and to the officials, and, you know, to the meat processors as well, who've really been wanting to get onto this business, and they, you know, they've done it, and now may they trade successfully.
Less good news though, fly tipping. Still a lot of that going on.
Oh, the fly tipping, John, is shocking. Fridges, couches, mattresses. This is a group of volunteers. 60 volunteers went out in an area around Millvale. It's a rural road in North Waterford. And what they didn't find in it, there was ovens, fridges, toilets, toasters, mattresses, couches, all of them in on the road to be got. They said that they got they filled 9 bags of rubbish in the space of just 30 metres. There was loads of bottles, takeaway bags, just a complete and utter mess on the road. So that was that big cleanup. And, you know, I think it's a follow on from what's going on in Limerick. We've had 4 now of what they call TLCs, the Team Limerick cleanup. And it's a thing, it's spearheaded by Paul O'Connell. Now, Paul O'Connell, he's not the kind of man when he that you turn down when he comes looking for you. But and it's funded mainly by J.P. McManus's Benevolent Fund. But the County Council, Rowan and Limerick Radio and, you know, all that, you know, good support stuff. But this year, they had 18,500 volunteers out working on on Good Friday, gathering up rubbish. That was 571 groups. They got 98 tonnes of rubbish. Now, that's the equivalent of 3,900 household wheelie bins. It's a lot of rubbish they collected. But the interesting thing about that cleanup was that, now, there was a whole pile of new areas had come in to take part. But in areas where they've been cleaning up for the last 4 years, the level of litter that they collected this time has dropped.
Has dropped.
Has
that's
dropped.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's back to this idea. If you pick up litter and keep an area litter clean, it'll be more inclined to stay that way. Whereas an area
it's the broken pain theory. Exactly.
It's back to this zero tolerance of crime thing. You know, it's a fantastic job that's happening there. But now it's been down in Waterford. But what they actually found, like fridges, couches, mattresses, toasters, toilets, couches, all of this sort of stuff. Not a mind kind of, you know, the thrown out from the car. Mm. They had to get in, I think, a JCB to shift some of it because there was so much there. And just pure then bags of litter, bags of rubbish just left there. And it's fierce unsightly. It's very dangerous. And, you know, the grass will grow up now when at last we've got grass grown. It'll grow up and it'll cover a lot of it over, but it'll be back there again. So I really commend the people there in North Waterford in that area, in Millvale, for 60 volunteers taking up their time to gather up all the stuff. And also then the 18,500 volunteers that came out in Limerick on Good Friday for their Team Limerick Cleanup, the TLC 4.
Yeah.
So
that's a great number of people to get out to do
that,
isn't it?
It's an extraordinary number. And actually, I was driving home on Good Friday. I don't know where I happened to be on the Thursday, but I was coming home on the Good Friday. And as soon as I hit Limerick, I knew that the cleanup was on because there wasn't hardly a stretch of road where there weren't people with their yellow jackets and their little prongs, whatever it is, to, you know, the tongs to fill the bags. And all along the road, you could see the bags of rubbish. And Mr. Bin Man actually comes around and collects it all. So and then they all have tea and coffee afterwards. There's a whole kind of celebration the work that's being done.
That's great.
So it's you know, it's a great penance on with a penance with a purpose.
Yeah, penance with a purpose for a change.
For Good Friday.
So if you have a bull, it's time to go and get a checkup. What you need to check the bull for?
Well now, what would you think?
How do you check that?
Well, it has the consistency of two good tennis balls.
Right.
That's
okay.
What you're talking about.
Right.
Now,
okay.
That's at the business end of it. But look at the stock bull. A stock bull is the bull that's on the farm.
Mm.
By far and away, most of the calf births in the country are the stock bull's responsibility. So it's not AI It's all the bulls on the farm. So now is the time to be starting to think about it. And so what are the things that farmers are looking out for? Well, a nice, small, sweet head is what I'm being told. Nice and small. I mean, the head is the first thing to come out in calving. And you do not want a great big head. It makes it difficult
right.
for the cows.
Okay. Okay.
So a nice little head is there. You need to have a fertility certificate which is bound by insurance. So, you know, he has to be able to do the job and you can test that out and get the certificate for it.
Mm.
If things go wrong afterwards, you always have it that this is what was said he was able to do and we can prove that he couldn't do it. Good legs. Really, you need to watch the bull walking.
Yeah.
Now, good God, what use is legs? Mm. You know, why do they matter? Well, if you're sore in the feet, you can do very little else.
Yeah.
And you probably end up having to give them medication because of the bad feet. And then that negates the walk that they're going to be doing. So you need to watch them walking. You really need to have a good long look at them at that. You also want docility. You want an animal. Like mad bulls, you know, you've heard the term cross bulls is very much a term that's used on farms. You cannot afford to have a cross bull on a farm. It doesn't matter how good
he is. I imagine the work that's ahead of them. They should be very pleased rather than very cross.
No, they can become very territorial and very possessive.
Oh, can they?
Hmm. Yes.
Ray, thanks a million for coming into us. Ray Lavery there from the Farmers Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.